As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Well, good evening, everybody. If we've not met before, my name is George Hawkins. I'm on the staff team here. And more importantly tonight, I'm also Grace's dad, if you weren't aware of that. We're really glad that friends and family have been able to come along today. We're really glad that you've been able to celebrate Grace's baptism with us. So thank you to those who've travelled particularly to do that. I just want to take a moment before we get into the passage just to really thank all of you here for the way that you've input into her life. For those of you who've prayed for her and loved her, shown the love of Christ to her, spoken the word of Christ to her. I think there's an old proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child, and this is our village. And we thank you for all the input you've had. Ellie and I really appreciate the blessing it's been to be part of this church family here, for the input you've had into her. I want to try and tackle a question with you tonight, hopefully a fairly simple question. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? And I want to keep my talk tonight pretty simple and short, which are two directions my wife normally gives me when I come to speak, but I'll try and actually keep to it this week. We're going to try and answer the question, what is a Christian? And we're going to do that by thinking about two different things. Firstly, what a Christian isn't. What a Christian isn't. And we're going to do that because there are lots of misconceptions, really, about what a Christian is. Lots of mixed up ideas about that, and many that are understandable, but they're mistaken ideas of what a Christian is, which generally, I think, mean that the thought of being a Christian isn't that exciting or interesting or relevant to life today. So I want to debunk a few of those things. And then secondly, what a Christian is. More positively, what is a Christian? And we're going to be thinking about that from one of the verses in the Bible passage that Steve has just read for us. And it's important to do that, because what I want to share with you tonight is not my idea of what a Christian is. If it's just my idea, if it's just what I think a Christian is or that, apart from the fact that I'm obviously old and wise, there's no real reason for you to listen to me. A two-year-old visiting me last week called me Grandpa, which was incredibly humbling. Some of you are thinking, hasn't it happened before many times? But my ideas honestly don't count. It's what God tells us a Christian is that matters. And we find that here in the Bible. So we're going to listen to what God tells us, what God tells us a Christian is in this book. This is a letter that was written by one of the early Christians, a guy called Paul, from a city called Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. I want to focus just on one little part. It's verse 8, which hopefully is up on the screen as well for you. And it says this, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." When Paul says that you have been saved, that's really another way of saying become a Christian. So it is by grace you have become a Christian. Let me think firstly with you about what a Christian isn't. The text says there in verse 9, it says it is not by works. It's not by works. You have not been saved, you've not become a Christian by works. And what that means is, it means that it is nothing that we have done, nothing that we've contributed. Becoming a Christian is not something we earn, nothing we deserve, nothing we work towards. And I think that is a common misunderstanding. Some people, for example, think that being a Christian is about being a good enough person. that the Christian does good things, that they care for others, they maybe look out for their neighbours, is nice. And doing good things for others is a great thing, of course. That is a good thing. We all look at kind acts that we see, generosity to other people, those who sacrifice for the sake of others, and we rightly admire people like that. We celebrate those things, and rightly so, whether those people would claim to be Christians or not. But we know, don't we, that none of us is perfect. I can see that just on a quick look around the room tonight, but none of us is perfect, that seems pretty clear. And if we're honest with ourselves, none of us lives up even to our own standards, let alone the standards that we think God might have for us. But we do hope that the good things we do will balance up the bad stuff, so that overall we'll be okay with God if the good stuff balances up the bad stuff. But I want to just try and show you why that really doesn't work. This week I met someone for coffee. And for those of you who know Beeston, I parked just near the police station, near the square, and you can park there for a whole hour for free. So that's what I did. I parked, I got my ticket for my free hour, and I went for coffee. And I didn't pay much attention to the time. And when it came to leave, I realised I'd been in Costa for about an hour and a quarter. And when I got to my car, there was my bright yellow parking ticket. £50 or £25 if I paid it very quickly. Now, suppose I write to the council and say, look, I'm a church minister. I care for people sometimes. You know, occasionally I visit people. I bought my wife a coffee this week. I did some nice things for a friend. Can you just sort of get rid of my fine? The council would rightly say to me, what on earth are you on about? Of course not. You know, I still owe the money. I'm guilty of parking without paying. And it was only 15 minutes, but it doesn't matter if it was 15 minutes or 5 hours. I've still broken the law of the car park. I need to pay my fine. And as we've lived with a mix of good things and bad things, the good doesn't balance up the bad. If we've still defied God, we've still lived in lots of areas of life for ourselves, disregarding what God has said. And actually, a Christian is not someone trying to be good enough to satisfy God. It's someone who knows they can never be good enough. Someone who knows there is no way they can be good enough. It's not by works. We don't become Christians by being good. And nor do we become Christians by being religious enough. Perhaps this is the other thing that people might tend to think. It's about doing religious things. It's about going to church or saying prayers or giving some money away. If we do enough religious stuff, then that makes us a Christian. Well, let me make a quick confession here. I like bird watching. Now, don't judge, because you've all got your weird hobbies, I'm sure. Okay. Now, you may or may not know that there are some rare birds at the moment down at Eastleigh, and lots of bird watchers are heading off to try and see them. And those bird watchers generally wear dull green or brown clothes, have a whacking great telescope, and they talk very quietly. That is basically your average bird watcher. That's generally the serious bird watching fraternity. But somebody could go along and have the best telescope in the world and the nicest camouflage trousers and never utter a word. And from the outside, they could look like the perfect bird watcher. But actually, they've got no interest whatsoever in birds. They might stand there all day with their binoculars even, but seeing the bird doesn't excite them. They're not bothered. And we would say that's a bit strange, wouldn't we? You might say the bird watcher is a bit strange, but somebody to go and not even have an interest, that would be a bit strange. Somebody who dressed like a bird watcher and did what a bird watcher does, but really didn't like the bird watching. Anyway, this is sometimes what we think about a Christian. If somebody reads a Bible once in a while and says prayers and gets them onto church, that must make them a Christian. But if they're not excited about God, if they're not excited about Jesus, if it's all outward, if it's all for show, then it's not real. It's not by works. It's not by the good things we do, and it's not by the religious things we do either. And let me just say something to some of the young people who are here tonight who are normally in church. It's not enough to have connections to Christians either. That doesn't make you a Christian. Your mum or dad might be a Christian, but that doesn't mean that you are yet. Grace is not a Christian because I am. It made a difference, of course, as she shared in her testimony. She's heard the good news about Jesus as long as she's been alive. But as you've heard, having Christian parents didn't make her a Christian. There was something personal. She had to look to Jesus herself. So it's not by works. We don't become a Christian by things we do, by good things we do, by religious things we do, or even being connected to other Christians. So what is a Christian then? What is a Christian then? Well, two vital things about being a Christian. The first, that it is by grace. By grace. What does the text say? It is by grace you've been saved. It is by grace that you've become a Christian. Let me just highlight, of course, that it is grace little g and not grace big g. It's not anybody called Grace who can make you a Christian. Grace Hawkins included cannot do that for you. But let me explain why we did decide to name Grace as we did. We didn't have a girl's name when she was born. She was baby girl Hawkins to start with, just for a few days. But as well as Grace being a name within the family, grace was also a precious word to us. Because grace is undeserved kindness. And we knew that God had shown us undeserved kindness in our family, but more significantly for Ellie and I all the way through our lives. See, we mistakenly think being a Christian is about what we do. It's actually about what God does, what he does. God, in his great love and generosity, comes to people like us who have lived for themselves, who have lived ignoring him, and he does what's necessary to bring us back onto good terms with him. Normally we expect, don't we, that when there's been a damage to a relationship, that the one who causes the difficulty, that they need to be the one to put things right. If I were to forget my wedding anniversary, I would need to be the one to put things right, wouldn't I? That would rest with me. But with God, though it's us who've caused the damage to that relationship, it's God who acts to make it better. In his kindness, he gives us what we don't deserve. He forgives our past. He doesn't ask us to make up for it, but he forgives it. Doesn't ask us to make amends, even to make some changes first, but he welcomes us as messy and as broken as we are. Christians are not people who've done a pretty good job of trying to please God, and so God made up the difference, just topped things up. Christians are people where God has done everything, not people who've done something for God. So Christianity is not spelt D-O, do something to get into God's good books. It's spelt D-O-N-E, done. It's about what God has done for us. And what he's done is to send his son, Jesus, into our world. We've been singing about him within some of the songs tonight. And Jesus lived the life that we should have lived, and he died the death that we deserved to die. He lived perfectly, not one word to apologize for, not one misplaced thought. And then he died, the death that we remember at Easter. A death that wasn't a tragic end, not so much a tragic end, but the way in which he dealt with all of the consequences of our rebellion against God. Forgiveness is a costly business. It's always costly to forgive. But when God forgives, it's costly too. But it's not us who pays, it's God who pays himself. God has done everything necessary so we can become Christians, so we can know him, so we can be on good terms with him again. But as with all gifts, we need to accept the gift. I don't know if in the past you've ever turned down a gift, or perhaps you had a gift turned down that you offered to somebody. But a gift on a birthday, a gift at Christmas or an anniversary is just no good if we don't take it. And that's what God means by faith. We become Christians when we realise that God has done everything and we accept the gift. It is by grace we are saved through faith. When we realise that there is nothing I can do to fix my broken relationship with God, that all the good things, all the religious things, all of those things, none of that is enough, but I realise that God has done everything. And instead of trusting myself and what I can do, that I know God accepts me because of what Jesus has done. And trust is a trust in what Jesus has done, knowing that he has done what is enough. A Christian is just simply somebody who has stopped trying to offer something to God, but someone who has come with nothing to God, knowing it must be by grace. It must be by what God has done for us. Grace Hawkins has discovered it must be by grace, and it must be through faith. It must be trusting what Jesus does, not what she can do. And my hope and prayer for you tonight is that that will be something you realise too. And for some of you tonight who know what I've been talking about, some of you younger people perhaps who've been in church a long time, you know you need to stop trusting in doing good things or being in church or being part of a Christian family and to trust Jesus and to do that for yourself.